Hello, everyone in the room. So welcome all the Zoomers. I have you up on our TV screen so we can feel like we're part of the group. So yes, welcome to the second of our Nongdro practice. And I'm busting to hear how everybody's going with their practices and how you've found it and which bits are working and which are challenging and just what you're using to count the Nongdros on. All of those things. As usual, we'll go through any questions that were arising from last week, last month, and hear how you're going. Then we'll have a in-depth dive into tonight's topics, which are on the causes of refuge. So I've been going through Geshe-la's transcripts and taking out the main sections. So that's the next section. Then we'll do our meditation together at the end. With one of those meditations. So I thought just to start for tonight as an introduction, thinking about the whole purpose that Geshe Zopa has rolled out this incredible program for us is so that we can have realizations and so that we have a really stable foundation for our practice. Because it's so easy to get distracted in the world, it's so easy to fall off the wagon in so many ways. Being bruised all over from falling off the wagon in many different ways. This is like a really essential grounding. And when we think about realizations, there's different ways that we can think about realizations. So one way is to think having realizations is both the spark and it's the fire. The spark is like when you have that flash of understanding, and often it's a realization that comes from being in teachings and listening to someone like Geshe Zopa with realization. So it just goes in and you go, oh, I get it. So that's a realization that comes from listening, and it's like a spark, but it's not enough because it quickly fades away. How many times do you say, oh, what did Geshe-la talk about? And just draw a blank. The four common Nongdros that we just spent the last month kind of doing an in-depth, kind of deep dive into are those four developing realizations on them through practice is like the fire that burns away the obscurations. It's a complete paradigm shift for our life. Hopefully, that's what's happened to us in the last month, just thinking in a different way. So there actually was a teaching last time that Geshe Sherab was here on the four thoughts that turn the mind to Dharma and away from samsara. And that was a teaching on these four common Nongdros. Who knew? Like only just put it together from. So the actual fire, the realizations of the fire comes through changing our behavior, changing our habit patterns. So it's more than a conclusion, it's more than an aha moment, it's a total paradigm shift. Also, a couple of weeks ago, I had put together a class for discovering Buddhism on the integration experiences. And part of that is that this sentence that's quite dense, but it really struck me as super important, which is that for realizations, we've got to come to an experiential realization through inferential reasoning. That means that it's a journey. So we have a realization that's deep within our experience, it becomes instinctual and it comes not through just listening, but through using reasoning to change the way we think and feel. So, like reprogramming ourselves. It's a really different idea of realization from what I've normally or ever heard. And so, it's so that we make all of the material like come alive within us and not just academically grasp it. Because, of course, if we just get it academically, but we don't change our experience and our behavior, then we become really harsh, really smart, and really harsh. How to then bring this practice into our experience? Very early on in the month, Tim texted me a photo of your visual prompts, and I thought, oh, that was fantastic. I got quite inspired by that of the how we were reminding ourselves about doing those four common Nongdros. So, did anyone else have any prompts or anything to remind them. Yeah, 1 week on each of the meditations. Yep, it fitted very nicely, didn't it? So yeah. And did you do the meditations and any of the questions, or just the meditations? Or so that's like the realizations that come from reflection. So you have the listening, then the reflection, and then by hopefully by this exposure and going through all the reasoning, then it becomes even deeper. Then it becomes the actual realizations of familiarity. Like one way that we can tell if we actually are getting these realizations is if problems in the world trigger our wisdom instead of trigger our annoyance or delusions or all those things. If we're triggered, we're highly triggered with refuge, then we're on the right track. So that's what we're aiming at. So. Yes, so who would like to recap the four common Andres? Which was one that you spent the most time on? Anybody did the deep dive into? Death and impermanence. Okay. Perfect human rebirth. So if you're going to sum up perfect human rebirth in one sentence to remind you, what would you say? Hit the jackpot. That's right. Or as Eddie says, I've got it. It's like more than a eureka moment. Ian, if you're going to sum up death and impermanence in one sentence, how do you remember it to yourself? I will leave this carcass behind. Or you could say it's coming for me. Okay, so that's true. The next one, so understanding karmic cause and effect. If you're going to sum it up in one sentence, how do you remember karma?
Karma is good, yes.
We can purify negative karma, but how do you remember? How does remembering karma draw and turn our mind to refuge? Virtuous and non-virtuous actions will bear fruit. Yes, yep, that's right. What goes around comes around. You reap what you sow eventually. Yep. No good deed goes unpunished, has often, but that's so one sentence, one that Eddie came up with, of course, which is brilliant, which is it's up to me. That's the conclusion with karma. It's up to me. We stop blaming other people, other things. It's up to me. So, like you were saying, Bev, it's both, it can be good because it gives us power. If we understand karmic cause and effect, I hear Demi says, mind your karma or it binds you to samsara. Angela says, it matters what we do. Yes, exactly. And Maria says, planting seeds in a garden. Yes. So what is the essence of the Buddha Dharma? That's it. I just said it, karmic cause and effect. Yeah. And so that's three. The fourth one, what was the fourth common nondro? Our unsatisfactoriness of samsara. And so if we're going to sum that up in a one-liner, get me out of here. So there was one sentence, Venerable Roger, Rinpoche's attendant, he had a little sticker on his diary or desk or wherever it was that just said, and I put it in the office above my desk. Remember, samsara always has problems, which is a great thing for an organizer to remember because it just puts it back into its proper context. What about what did Geshe Saltram say, the one-liner about samsara? Does anyone remember? Not quite right. Yeah. So they were the four common nondros that when we contemplate them, we naturally. Our mind naturally is drawn to refuge. The result is seeking refuge where it can be found. So what else? Anyone got completely stuck or took a while to get started? I know some people took, a few. Yeah, so do the six to get started. Yes. Yeah, so I had a bit of a jolt because I almost did like a hunt. First night, then I'm like, oh, and then I'm like, oh no, that's no good pulling it back. So I wasn't quite sure what to do. So I just started my count the next day. But anyway, okay. So, Chris, we need someone like you who can calculate because I've done calculations that come up a different number each time of if you do 500 a day or 500 a night, or did anybody else have, then you'd be done by what? By April? By just after Easter. Anyone else set an amount to kind of 300 a day, a couple of weeks catch up time? Okay, Bev's already done 100,000. We do it until not until we get a tick from the Buddha, but you know, until we get it. So it was interesting how Geshe-la said his instructions were, you know, to make a place that's your place, and to try and come back to that place. But then he also said your place, if you're a traveler, it may be on the plane, or it may be, you know. It's not about the number, but it's about really setting our motivation, and then about an awareness of what we're doing. And so I remember last month someone asked about you know, doing the calculation. If you calculate, oh, you get this many done in half an hour, then you just count the half an hour. You don't have to count the refuges. I thought actually better to say I've done X amount of hours of refuge. So you're either counting hours or you're counting recitations. Either is fine, but just to be really clear. So you can say, hey, at the end, we can offer to say we can offer to Geshe Zopa 40,000 hours of refuge. Who knows? So it's up to us. He did say, even if you do a mistake, it's not a mistake. Remember that? He said, it's not wrong. You know, we do the best that we can and try and bring some awareness to it and get some sort of system. The moment we start obsessing about numbers, just pull right back. Just stop counting for the day. If you're obsessing with numbers, personally, I think just stop counting for the day to refocus what we're doing. When Geshe Zopa comes back, then we will offer
That's wonderful.
our, and so we can offer the little book that we're keeping our tabs in, or you could just write the numbers in a card and offer that. But yeah, we're going to physically
So cool.
offer. No, we're going to have a procession and everyone's going to offer individually. Of course not. So whatever we do, we can offer. If you've got how many hours of refuge recitations to offer, you can offer that. If you've got however many you've written in your book. Also, like I've been doing the longer verses, and then some. If I'm sitting doing quite a few, then I do much shorter and faster. And so, you know, some are with the refuge and bodhicitta, some without. So, you know, so now the trick is that probably Geshe-la will be back in August. So that tops off the month. If you do 1 mala a day, then you've got to do at least one or two retreat days a month to get it done. If you do 3 malas a day, you'll probably get it done in the time with a few extras here and there. So it's better to do 1 mala and be concentrated than 3 malas and get mechanical and get stuck on just wanting to get the mala done. That's right. So yeah, make the right call. Yeah.
Really?
Fantastic. And it's really good to have noticed that. And so I only do extras like when I'm stuck at the airport because the plane's delayed. And it's like, oh, goody. Now I can do extra refuges. It's fantastic. So because there's all this leisure time opening up when you're in a queue or waiting for something. So yes, it's out and about, but I set the motivation and it's a purposeful thing. And then, so yeah, good point. That's excellent, Dean.
And
Do you have a
it's
visualization too? Yep, the
quite like
light
that.
coming. And so you can do with the light coming for each of those meditations that you do, you can have, of course, be specifically purified of those things and have the realizations of those things. Janet has said she's worked out minimum of 300 a day and slowly increased it. Francesca started with 6, decided to do the 4 line refuge and bodhicitta. Wow. And so can now do, I'm not sure if that's 100,000 and 10%. Oh, okay. Double the outcome. Francesca's going for double the outcome. Refuge and bodhicitta together. Steve and Anne. So it's probably Steve who's in hospital at the moment. They're joining us tonight from the hospital. So they say the base of 6 a day was a blessing, as we've had so many obstacles thrown at us this month. We use it as a cushion that we can use a cushion that we can sit anywhere, anytime to call it our practice space while on the road. Fantastic. Yeah. So my practice space is just being in bed. So wherever I'm in bed, that's it.
Yeah.
Kate, when I'm taking care of my dad, I do them there as well, but I haven't counted those ones. That's just extra, I think. And it's really good, like you're saying, Liam, to have this. to get it into like a chant so that it keeps going in the background. Because normally in the back of our mind, what's normally going on? Chat, 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 chat. That's right. So better to have the refuge prayer going through our mind so that it becomes so ingrained that if we just accidentally end up in a coma, that's what's going to be going through our mind. That's what we're aiming at. It's too many things. Yep, yeah, that's right. Well, I was just listening to how Geshe Zopa was giving us examples in the teaching. And I think just generally you do it by feel and you start off with the longer prayers to get started and really kind of take that deep dive in. And then once you get going, it can be much simpler. So you can do a mala of I go for refuge to the Buddha and a mala of I go for refuge to the Dharma. And if you've got the time to do it that way so that it doesn't get too busy. And then once you start doing your meditation on what that actually means, when you say Buddha, what do you mean? And have the experience of the light washing through you, then you can start, focusing on different ones. Maybe you do it in Tibetan if you like, do it in English if you like, mix and match. So as we go through the year, like so that so in this next month, the causes of refuge will be slightly different meditations. And so a slightly different focus and probably visualization when we're doing. Yeah, but how do you count them if you're picking things up and carrying and yeah, if you can sit there and count them, yes. But if you're out and about doing gardening, you can't count them. Daryl's been using the Lamrim yearbook and the meditations on each page before doing the count. What an excellent idea. Fantastic. Yes, Daryl, we are inspired. Yeah, and of course there's specific sections in Lamrim Year which are on refuge, so we'll be able to recognize those. And then what about the questions? Has anyone done the questions? Just read through them or yeah, you have? Oh, that's okay, but it's just like they're conversation starters. You're not going to get tested on them, but it's just as a way of, I've found personally it was easier to think about those questions and let the answers come to me or wonder about the answers rather than try and remember the six of this and the four of that. Oh, just like if you have any thoughts that come to you about refuge, any epiphanies about death and impermanence tonight. We're going to have a look at the faults in the worldly practice approach and lower capable being, and then middle and higher capable being. All of this also, this next section is just to make sure that we remember the Lamrim and refuge, it's all taught from the point of view of Tantra. And so to be careful not to rule that out, even though we're slowly making our way towards tantric practice, or some of you are to not just go over cautious and rule it out straight away. Well, we'll get to it in a moment. But you know how Geshe was quite encouraging us in our speech not to just say, "Oh no, I'm not ready for tantra," but say, "I'm working towards tantra," or "That's too hard for me," to say, "I'm focusing on the bodhisattva path at the moment." So we're really careful in our speech that we don't rule it out. And the purpose of this 5-year program of Nongdro's is so that we end up with being able to do tantric practice and be confident that it's going to turn out well and we're not going to fall off the wagon. So that's a really big thing. It's nice to have that balance. So let's just before we get into tonight's topics, let's set our motivation. And if you have the gold prayer book, we'll do some prayers that are on page 34. So adjusting our motivation and remembering why we're here, we're ensuring our practice becomes a cause for swift enlightenment and that our practice becomes stable and a reliable basis. Our motivation also to be very mindful to adjust our speech so that it mirrors our motivation and we encourage ourselves through speech. For instance, I'm looking forward to tantric practice in the future when I have a stable basis. Also, motivating to be able to generate realizations in the heart, meaning not just having a correct understanding, but changing our whole paradigm in life, shifting our direction in life, so that our momentum accelerates us through good-heartedness, kindness, compassion, and wisdom. And also calling, bringing to mind how Geshe Zopa's program for us, this in-depth program, where we can spend time to generate quality realizations. It is very timely because Lama Zorro Rinpoche has passed away. And the only way to safeguard the Dharma is to have it living within us, not just words on a page, not just transcripts, not just books, but to safeguard the Buddha Dharma, it has to live within us for the benefit of sentient beings. So we can set our motivation on page 34, taking refuge and generating bodhicitta in Tibetan, then English.
I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings.
The Four Immeasurables in English. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. And the Seven Limb Prayer in the English. Reverently, I prostrate with my body, speech, and mind. I present clouds of every type of offering, actual and imagined. I declare all my negative actions accumulated since beginningless time and rejoice in the merit of all holy and ordinary beings. Please remain until the end of cyclic existence and turn the wheel of Dharma for living beings. I dedicate my own merits and those of all others to the great enlightenment. Okay, so let's take our dive into the four levels of refuge. Now, I did post those up online. So this section comes from transcript 2, which is the Saturday morning, and it's only like one half of that transcript. There's so much in there, oh my gosh. And so the causes for refuge, Geshe-la talked about the objects of refuge, what the primary object of refuge is. The object, the causes, and the different driving motivators to go for refuge, the different objectives or goals, and in a way, how we can tell the measure of success, and the commitments. So the commitments, actually, Geshe-la talked about the vows in the first section of the transcript. He went a lot into the vows, and it was in this appreciation of how we have vow holders like His Holiness the Dalai Lama and Lama Zopa Rinpoche, and the kinds of vows that they hold that they can impart to us. So that was how we went through that. The worldly refuge. So I've summarized what what Geshe-la said about it, and it is kind of what's propelled us from the worldly refuge to starting these nongdros. And so pretty much what happens is when we have a worldly refuge, we don't kind of realize it. We're trying to be a good Buddhist, and then push comes to shove and we kind of fall back. We find that it happens. In a way, it's really questioning where do we turn to when things go wrong? What's our first port of call? Where do we turn to for refuge? And in our, I mean, often it can be psychologists or doctors or nutritionists or whatever. And then when you've got extra time, the Dharma. But actually, what we're trying to do is to not delete those material things, but not have them as our main refuge. So why not our main refuge? They're samsaric and will fail. That's right. They're not ultimately reliable. They can help. We definitely need to look after our health and all sorts of things. But turning to material things, other people, relationships, psychology, spirits, wealth gods, when facing health issues, financial issues, loneliness, all of those things, they just bring temporary help. Our fear normally drives us to these things, and then just habit. So if we continue in our default way, then eventually those things betray us and let us down. And that's probably why we're all here. So that kind of worldly refuge, how long does it last for? This life, maybe, if we're lucky. Like if you have a financial investment, does it last for this life? Not necessarily. If you have a house, does it last for this life? We've just seen what, floods in Spain. And so even these things, safe as houses, or all that effort that we put into building up your superannuation, all of those things, like it's a bit of a refuge, but it's very limited. So highly unstable. So in your notes, the fault of our default, and there's some essence questions there. I would suggest just have these on your where you have your morning tea or coffee, just to have a to start the conversation with yourself at breakfast over your cornflakes. Or if you enjoy sitting in the garden, just take these questions out and have a look at them. Because we can think we understand things, but it's only once you start having this conversation. I mean, these questions are a little bit like having a conversation with somebody else. Once you start having a conversation, it's like, oh, hang on a second. I thought I knew that. There's a very nice meditation in there, the umbrella protection, which we're not going to do that one tonight, but it's a lovely one. Then on page four, the lower capable being. So now we're aiming for when we die, that we're not going to end up anywhere worse. We're going to end up this good at least or better. So the lower capable being, the main focus. Does anyone remember what the main focus is for a lower capable being?
Okay.
Ethical behavior. That's right. So in Australian parlance, keep yourself nice.
Yes.
If you're going to put it in one sentence, it's keep yourself nice. Because we have to. If we can't do that, we can't do the rest of the path. It's like if we can't act ethically and watch our actions and our speech, there's no way we're going to be able to do the rest of the path. So it's really important foundation. And not only refrain from the harm, but create lots and lots of merit, momentum, with our, physically and with our speech. This creates conducive conditions, meaning it'll make it easier for us. The main causes for of a lower capable being, what are the main causes for refuge? Fear and faith. That's right. Fear of what? The lower roles. Even I look at my cats and I sometimes get so sad for them. They bring so much joy and I'm like, oh, you poor things, because it's lower roles. And faith. So when we say fear and faith, so faith in what? Yep. Cause and effect. That's right. So faith mostly, I mean, generally in Buddhism, we say faith, it means confidence. It means real conviction, confidence. So, and mostly in how cause and effect work, how, and now how it can work for us. And the duration, how long does it last for, this kind of refuge of a lower capable being? I've never heard that either, but that's what Geshe Zopa said. It's great though, isn't it? So when we think about it, it lasts because what are we aiming for? Next life. It's a lower capable being. So next life, at least next time, we don't up, end up any worse. So it's a two lifetime duration. Really interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I've never actually heard it said like that. It's over two lifetimes, but pretty much that's what it is. So I mean, in a way, we've got a similar example. Say, if you have a job, if you're lucky enough to have a job, and then you have super. So you're thinking the job now and after I finish the job. It's just that. So now we're thinking this life and then next. So it's important to plan ahead. Middle capable being. We don't hear much of this when we go through the Lam Rim. It goes through quite quickly because, of course, this is a Mahayana center, but there are practices that we do from a Mahayana point of view that are in common with a middle capable being. So what are the main practices in common? Well, renunciation, no, renunciation is a cause, but it's not. What are the practices that we do? Renunciation is a cause for this middle capable being. Six perfections? No, that's higher capable being. Who says bam? That's six nirvana. The impetus then is renunciation, isn't it? And renunciation
Samsara.
of all of samsara, isn't it? The lower realms and the higher realms. And the main practices are the three higher trainings. Ethical conduct, concentration, and something else. Wisdom realizing emptiness. That's right. That's the literal get out of jail card. Yep. So, I mean, the main thing is wisdom realizing emptiness. How do we get that? We have that foundation of the ethical conduct, and we develop our concentration, our karma body. So there are two main types of practitioner in the middle capable being: hearers and solitary realizers. And I kind of liked this actually. The hearers, their primary refuge is the Sangha. So they have like a Sangha community and they learn from the masters, from the experience of others, the role models, the inspiration of others. And they have faith and conviction in their elders to guide them through. And you live in a community so that you, it's much easier to act ethically, so you've got really good conducive conditions. And the solitary realizers, their main focus is the Dharma. So they have different main focus. And the Dharma meaning the true paths and true cessations. Their goal too is liberation or nirvana. And they have taken teachings in previous lifetimes. So in this lifetime, they just go off by themselves. And can do it. They don't need anybody else. They're in their cave or in their forest. Yes, that's right. Yep. The questions for the middle capable being are really about helping us appreciate, I suppose the focus of a middle capable being to be entirely free of samsara. That's like, as Eddie's often said, that's the ultimate self-help, to free ourselves from samsara. And then to really be able to do that, then we have to develop these three higher trainings. And we have that approach on a very minimal level in our day-to-day life. If we have any idea of self-care or self-help, that's where we can direct it to. This just think, oh, I'm developing the practices of the middle capable being. Don't just leave it at self-care and self-help. So did you have any questions or anything that came up about when Geshe was talking about that, the middle capable beings? The different refuges, well, this particularly came out in this middle scope because while there's refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, for the hearers, their main refuge is the Sangha. And for the solitary realizers, their main refuge is the Dharma. So they still take refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, but the main focus is different. And the fear, it's not just fear of the lower realm, so it's not just fear of obvious suffering. It's fear of that deep one. And also not just fear of the changeable suffering, happiness, contaminated happiness, or as His Holiness the Dalai Lama calls it, the suffering we run towards. It's fantastic, isn't it? So that one, it's fear of obvious suffering, contaminated happiness, which is also, changeable suffering, but mostly it's the fear of the all-pervasive, compounded, suffering. That's what we're mostly seeking, stop to, and why we go for refuge is for that third one. Dean, you had a question? You're good? Okay. So if we don't have that fear of the all pervasive compounded suffering, then we won't have renunciation and we won't get out of samsara. So I just think I bring that back to my own experience. I think what's the main thing that makes me take refuge? It's just ordinary suffering. It's the obvious suffering. Whereas actually our main one should be that third level. I'm more scared of winning the lotto. Well, I mean, the thing about winning the lotto is, and especially for us Westerners, if we do come to the Dharma through problems, through feeling terrible about things, we forget the incredible joy that we have when we recognize we have a perfect human rebirth and it is better than money. It's the third level of suffering. So first we seek the Dharma. The lower capable being seeks the Dharma because of fear of obvious suffering and the lower realms. And then middle capable being seeks the Dharma of fear of the higher realms, which is like changeable suffering, contaminated happiness.
And the higher giggle,
High, then middle capable being also because any kind of experience in samsara is going to end up in suffering, then seeks refuge. And the main thing to try and avoid or to overcome is this compounded what's the word, Ian? All pervasive compounded suffering. Yeah. And so that is that all pervasive suffering, it's really hard to identify it in our life. Yeah, just doesn't feel right. Yeah. Yeah, that's yeah. So you get a feeling for that, even though everything seems okay, it's not quite right. Or I mean, I heard people would say, well, you die because you're born. And I'm like, but that doesn't make it okay. Like, it also is not quite right. So yes, the all pervasive, the contaminated aggregates, that whole thing is samsara itself, and so that's what we're seeking refuge from in the middle capable being. So that gets us out of samsara. Oh, Carolyn, the third suffering takes us back to karma, as it's being under the influence of karma and delusions. Yes. So that was one thing that Geshe Zopa said. For the lower capable being, the main thing is observing karma so that we don't create any more negative karma. For the middle capable being, it takes us to karma and delusion. So the first one is the no, it's you've got there's three. It was on the top of was on the here it is. Karma is the main obstacle to higher rebirth. So for the lower capable being, that's the main thing that we try and observe. Then delusions are the primary barrier for achieving self nirvana. So overcoming all the afflictive states of mind is the main thing for the middle capable being. And to do that, we need the wisdom realizing emptiness to go right down to the root of all of those afflictive states of mind, right down to desire being the cause of all the suffering, and then ignorance being the root delusion. When you get to the higher capable being, then it's not just the afflictions, but it's the tendency of the afflictions. So it's the appearances, the habits, the tendencies, or the what do they call them? The stains. So the higher capable being then has two sections as well. So this coming month, when we go through it, we can do say the first week can be on worldly refuge, the fault of the default, and lower capable being. You could spend like a week on that, just like as a summary. And then the second week you can do on middle capable being. The third week on sutra refuge, and the fourth week on tantra refuge. And that'll have it nicely spaced out. So the high capable being was divided into the two, sutra refuge and tantra refuge. And the main object of refuge here is the Buddha. So, middle capable being was either Dharma or Sangha. Here, the primary object of refuge is the Buddha. But when we say Buddha, it's not just historical Buddha, because that's just the Nimanakaya aspect Buddha. So what we're talking about is Dharmakaya, Sambhogakaya, Nimanakaya, the Buddha bodies. So whose head kind of went when Geshe was talking about that? An easy way to try and think about it is on the one hand we have the Buddha's mind, and on the other the Buddha's body. So the mind we often call the Dharmakaya. And the body of a Buddha, sometimes it's called Rupakaya, Rupa meaning the jewel, so like the jewel form. But often we talk about Sambhogakaya and Nimanakaya. Yes, that's it. A filmmaker and their body of work. Yes, it's not that there's four Buddhas and they're all squished together in a room. No, that's right. It's exactly like that. So the Buddha's the four Buddha bodies. So the body of wisdom or realizations. Right. Nimanakaya is a physical form
Physical.
that ordinary beings can see. And Dharmakaya is both the wisdom and the true cessations. So it's a body as in a collection. Yeah, spot on, Sal. Sambhogakaya is the light body of a Buddha that never ages and never gets old and never gets sick. That only Arya beings can see. We can't see. Well, there's two in Dharmakaya and two, yeah. So you can divide it into two, Dharmakaya and Rupakaya, or three, Dharmakaya, Sambhogakaya, and Nirmanakaya, the two form bodies,
Yeah.
or four, the two Dharmakaya ones. So one's the wisdom truth and one's the wisdom essence. So one's the wisdom and one's the emptiness.
And guess she's overdid it. So
He did all of that and he did it
the
really fast.
video.
So I have put this into the notes here as a summary,
Thank
so
you.
that because it just takes again and again and again to try and get your head around it. Four afternoons just on these Buddha bodies. That's right. Yeah. So they really come into their own because, for instance, the Nirmanakaya, the form body of a Buddha, that's an ordinary form. So that's, for instance, how we can see our gurus, how we can see His Holiness the Dalai Lama. So the Nirmanakaya form of Chenrezig, Buddha Chenrezig. So manifest getting old, manifest having a knee operation for our benefit so that we can relate, so that we can actually see and ask questions of Chenrezig. And so this means that these are the Buddhas can reach out to ordinary sentient beings, and you don't necessarily have to have merit to be able to, or the you can be really an ordinary sentient being and totally deluded and still make contact. So not only that, but the Buddhas will manifest as dogs for being in a bunch of dogs to lead the dogs off, or as an elephant for the elephants, in whatever way is necessary. It's just mind-boggling. It's very heartwarming because you can know no matter how bad you are, the Buddha is going to be reaching out to help you and can. So then the Sambhogakaya, the light body, that's like, you think, oh, well, how come Buddha died? So the historical Buddha was a Nirmanakaya form. So of course, manifested passing away. But the light body of a Buddha has no faults. Yeah, because in the Mahayana system like this, there's 1,000 Buddhas of this age. And so Shakyamuni Buddha is number four and Maitreya Buddha is number five. And so when Shakyamuni Buddha manifested on this earth, he gave his Buddha crown to Maitreya, the heir, and came and manifested the 12 deeds on this earth. But there's many other earths and many other 12 deeds going on as we speak all over the many other universes. There are kind of apocalyptic legends about this, and so there is, going to be a great fire at the end of the aeon. There's going to be a degenerate time. So Shakyamuni Buddha arose in degenerate times. So already that was counted as degenerate times, especially. And so Geshe Zopa made this really wonderful, nuanced kind of brought it out that Shakyamuni Buddha, before he was enlightened, when he was an ordinary, destitute, abject human being, saw, an enlightened being, a Buddha, and went, wow, I want to be able to help others like that. And that was the whole genesis of his journey towards enlightenment. And so he specifically became a Buddha for us beings of a degenerate age. I mean, it's so amazing. And that's why we have this karmic connection.
So during that Durga Dharma time, that like there are still other Buddhas and are there still Dharmakaya and Sambhogakaya forms?
Yeah, but we're not on this planet, in other planets. So there is a cycle. There is a cycle where the Dharma comes and goes. And we're in the good part of the cycle. Yeah, so they're all different depictions of a light body of a Buddha. And so again, Geshe-la was saying about how, an enlightened being is enlightened, is omniscient, can do everything and see everything. But how come they have different aspects was because before they were enlightened, they made all these aspirational prayers to be able to help sentient beings. And that's why they ended up as, say, Medicine Buddha or Tara Buddha, with this particular prowess to be able to help sentient beings, to heal sentient beings, or to help in emergencies. So That means that when we do our nondros now, what motivates us now is going to determine the flavor of Buddha we become. That's what it means. Whatever it is, like, who your people are, the what you want to help people from, like if you want to be, I want to be able to help all the weirdos, right? So I'm going to be like the weirdos Buddha.
Imagine in a monochrome.
That's right. It's going to be interesting, isn't it? So whatever it is that is motivating you brings that flavor, and that's why we have so many different Buddhas. And so then to try and make a connection with as many Buddhas as you can. Yeah, so the Laughing Buddha is a Chinese Buddha, so it's a different tradition. It's just a different tradition with a different whole background story to it. So the thing is to become aware of what each Buddha represents, like the story. It's part of it, but I don't know anything about it. So Shakyamuni Buddha's aspirations for us people of a degenerate age. And so the cause for refuge for a bodhisattva on this path is what's the fear? There was fear of the lower realms, the lower capable being, fear of all of samsara for middle capable being. What's the fear for a bodhisattva? Suffering of all sentient beings? Fear of nirvana? Yep, fear of falling back into nirvana, which is an extraordinary sentence to my mind. It's the fear of leaving everybody out. The fear of leaving out other sentient beings. The fear of falling back into nirvana. Inclusivity, that's right. You can bring that into your path to enlightenment, Sal. Fear of self-cherishing, Demi says. Oh yeah, Francesca's saying a bit like Lama Yeshe in his previous life, wishing to come back in a form to be able to teach Westerners. To be able to overcome the not just the afflictive states of mind, but the obscurations to omniscience, the tendencies of delusion in our mind, then we need not just wisdom, but we need this thing to boost our practice. Remember Geshe-la saying to boost. Remember that? Boost. And what is it that boosts?
Bodhicitta.
That's right, bodhicitta, the big B. So bodhicitta becomes a motivator, a really strong support. And with bodhicitta, that boosts our practice. Then the unique object of refuge in Tantra. So with Sutra, it's the Buddha and the four Buddha bodies. What's the object of refuge in Tantra? The deity. That's right. We go for refuge to the deity. And so that's generation and completion stages in Tantra. And so with the tantric path, it's much swifter. So the quote is that it's not just in one lifetime, but it can be in one brief lifetime. And as Geshe-la was saying, it could be in this very session, on this very cushion, in this very moment, in this very now. I'll give you an example about this. So my mother, Inta, who started this center, so I think she was maybe 40 years old when she first came across the Buddha Dharma, and she went to teachings with a Pali monk down in northern New South Wales, the first Theravadan Western monk, Pra Kantapalo, at Wiseman's Ferry. So I went along to those teachings like I was 6 or 7 or something. So all of my first prayers were in Pali. I really, really loved it. So she met the Dharma then and did lots of walking meditations and Vipassana retreats. Along with my dad was into it as well. And so then she heard about a particular famous Buddhist teacher that was going to come out, and she lost all the details, rang up the newspaper and said, oh, I think it's this or that. And they gave her the address And the address was Diamond Valley, and the course with Lama Yeshe and Lama Zopa Rinpoche. Anyway, so she got there from Melbourne up to Queensland and realized it was a totally different course than the thought one that she thought she was going to. It wasn't however, that she thought, but she met Lama Zopa Rinpoche and that was it. She's like reconnected with her guru. So she was I think 45 when she first met Lama Zopa Rinpoche. And then she did some courses, and I'd get to WAG school for about 2 months each year. We'd come up to Brisbane, and she'd do that, do the Lamrim course, and then a 1 month long retreat. And so maybe she would have had her first highest yoga tantra initiation after a few years. So maybe 47, 48, 49, maybe, possibly even 50.
Amazing.
So then, bringing up a daughter, then she started the precursor to Lungri Tungpa Centre, the precursor to Tara Institute in Melbourne. And she'd hold meditations. We'd go to the movies every Saturday, all the alternative movies every Saturday as a group. We'd just do the meditation, go off to the movies. And so then by the time she was 71, when she died, she got lung cancer. So from what, say 50 to 71, so 21 years of practice, and she had a really good death. There was a rainbow over the house when the consciousness left the body. Lama Zopa Rinpoche and His Holiness the Dalai Lama prayed for her while she was in the, so the breathing had stopped, the consciousness was still there. It was about 2.5 days before the consciousness left. There's a sweet smell in the room. She died at Lungri Tungpa Centre. And Lama Zopa Rinpoche said she had a very good death. So that's in the one brief lifetime from when you first meet the Dharma, no matter how old you are, you can become enlightened. Or if not enlightened, then way down that path, like almost there. So it depends, the swiftness depends on your focus, consistency, faith, diligence, and the blessings of deity yoga practice. So the blessings of deity yoga practice is what makes it fast, really, really swift. And so the main cause of refuge is this urgency to benefit sentient beings, and you can't bear to delay even a second. So I think I remember with Inta too, like it might have been when she was first started having a cough a couple of years before she died. And maybe about 4 years before she died, Lama Zopa Rinpoche said to her, start doing completion stage practices. So, and she's like, just be going okay.
Really good.
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic. It's so incredibly, when she got her terminal diagnosis, she was really curious to see how the whole thing was going to pan out. She wasn't frightened. So this is the minimum what we can be aiming for, folks. Right. And so then when we've got these different capable level beings, do you think it's you've got to choose one? Do you think it's a sequence? What do you reckon, Bev? Sometimes it happens.
She found
Came together, coalesced, conducive conditions. Yeah. Yep.
she did.
And what about how our own what motivates our own life? Is it a progression? Is it
Sounds like it should be sort of linear because it's lower, middle, and higher.
Sounds like it should be
It seems
linear,
like
yeah.
it's one at a time.
Yeah,
We
it's a bit of
cross
both, isn't it?
in
That's right. We can cross in and
yeah.
out, yeah. And so how do you know what the focus do you
So thank you.
adjust your focus or
You heard that.
if you that's right, if you can focus your intention that way. So just like they say in the Lamrim that it can be each level can be suited for a particular practitioner. It can just be your thing, or it can be like developmental stages through a few years or through a session. So when we're going for refuge, like we should be going all the way through. And so some may seem stronger than others. We might have to work at some. But I keep in mind that Geshe-la said it's so easy to fall back, and many bodhisattvas fall back. And so rather than just wait on, oh, what am I feeling like today? You can kind of take your energy level that way. But like you were saying, Dean, lead yourself through adjusting your intention so that even at the end, you've got your intention, even if you're just saying it as the words, you're aspiring to it so that you don't fall back. Because otherwise, one day, if we just say, oh, look, I'd love to be able to help all sentient beings, but I just can't.
It's too hard.
It's just too hard. You've fallen down and we've lost and we've abandoned sentient beings. And honestly, if we think about it, we don't ever want to do that. So this training is a way of getting used to each level and familiar with it and bringing our mind to it so that we end up there. Yeah. It's a training. So that's the thing that we have this aspiration. We can see this incredible vision that we could become a Buddha for the benefit of all. And so we've got to train in that. And yeah, each day then we can take our temperature and see, oh, maybe it's going this way or that way. We can see where we're up to. But it doesn't mean that then we decide, oh, I'm going to put a limit on it. Yeah, today I'm focusing on building up my middle scope practices. Because we build them up, then we can go further.
Workout.
But to really keep in mind the ultimate goal that we're going for. Yeah. So we have that's like an aspiration. You have the wish to be able to achieve it, then you start working towards achieving it. And so part of that is having a nice measured program. Not only that, but how we're reprogramming ourselves, it's a really consistent program. So nothing's left out. Each one builds on the other. So these are all practices. We're coming from the point of view of Tantra, but all of these practices are practices in common with lower scope and practices in common with middle scope, which means we have to do them all and get really strong at them all. So if we've kind of got, if we got the middle scope tendencies that day, then think, great, these are practices in common with the middle scope. I'm going to build them up so that our main goal, it does incorporate it. And also we may have come to the Dharma with an altruistic intention and then got burnt out. And it's because we didn't have the practices in common with the middle and lower scope. So if we've ever had burnout, that's why. So now it's not that we just go, oh, well, I just can't handle doing this for all sentient beings. We go, oh, what do I need? What extra do I need to develop? So Maria says that I think having exposure to our teachers implies our karma will lead us to the higher beings' path. If not, we wouldn't have met them or had this opportunity. And actually, that's a nice point too, because whenever you come across the Mahayana vehicle or you be able to take vows, Mahayana vows, it's always retaking those vows. It's never taking because the fact that you've met it now means that you're picking up from last life. So the refuge vows are for one life, but the Mahayana vows are for this life and all future lives until you become enlightened. So that means we've had them before. If we've got them now, if we have Mahayana vows now, that means we had them before. We've just picked up. All right. So, oh, last thing, we're going to run out of time. Lama Zopa Rinpoche's daily practice, the method to transform a suffering life into happiness. So, if anyone doesn't have this one and wants a printed copy, then I thought we'd do our Nongdro meditation based around this one, just so that you get a feel for a different way to do the practice. Last time we went through the standard prayers and then doing those prayers, inserting a Lamrim meditation and doing our recitations. This time, what we can do is use Lama Zopa Rinpoche's prescription for life. So this is called The Method to Transform a Suffering Life into Happiness, Including Enlightenment, with a Speech Blessing and Daily Mantras. And so what it is a very short glamouring. It's called a glance meditation at the beginning. Everything's in there, everything wonderful and complete. And so what I've been doing is using this as the main text for my practice. And so on the first verse is the Buddha, Dharma and Sangha, in essence, one's holy guru. The second verse is our mind to become Dharma, the Dharma to become a path, meaning a Bodhisattva path, and the path to be without obstacles, meaning a tantric path. Over the page is the verse on guru devotion and seeing, having pure vision regarding our gurus. And then the next verse is all the four common nondros. It's right there. So I'd read that, then I'd read one of the common nondro meditations, and then continue with the prayer, and then do my refuge recitation at the end. So now that we're into the causes for refuge, there's middle capable being here. So you could do middle capable being meditation and questions contemplation here, then do the rest of the prayer and do your refuge recitations at the end. So we can insert at each section. Then there's the higher capable being. You can do the questions and the meditation here, then continue to the end and do your refuge recitations. So when I showed this to Geshe-la, he was really happy for us to use this as a text. And so then as we go through, just to kind of give you a heads up, so the end of the glance meditation, then on page 8 is the absorbing the guru into the heart, or absorbing Shakyamuni Buddha into the heart, and that's where you can do Shakyamuni Buddha meditation. And then the rest of the verses is like this bodhicitta growing in your heart and dedicating your life to others. So it's like this impetus slowly grows over these various verses that are incredibly practical. A lot of them are thought transformation and merit making. And then it takes us to the middle part of the booklet, which is the speech blessing. So the speech blessing, then through this power of bodhicitta, of dedicating your life to others, then you either arise as your deity or you arise as a light body, a product of virtue. Instead of karma and delusion, product of virtue. And then you do the speech blessing, because the main way that we interact with sentient beings is with our speech. And then you do the speech blessing, then you can go out into the world. So it's all there. It doesn't matter if you do the speech blessing first and then the lam rim, or if you do the lam rim and then the speech blessing. Either way works. So is anyone here that's already doing this practice? No. Yeah, two. Occasionally. So Lama Zhurpa Mishe really wanted all of us to do it as a daily practice. Even if you've got massive highest yoga tantra commitments, it's an addition. And it's because it's really applied bodhicitta. It's like those extra verses that Rinpoche put in together are our prescription for daily life, for how to be out in the world. It's bodhicitta and generosity and thought transformation. They're really amazing, and they're the exact ones that we need. So every now and again, I'll fall off the wagon for a few weeks, and then I'll come back and I'll go, oh, of course I've had problems. Right, so Sandy's saying hello from Gyalwa Ensapa Broome Buddhists, and really wonderful to come along to this session. And, oh, yes, Maria, if you only have 1,000 Arm Chenrezig initiation, generate as Chenrezig before the speech blessing. Yes, definitely. Yeah. Then just before we do our group practice together, show and tell. So I managed to find a little tiny, tiny, teeny diary that's got whole month on each page. And so I've been writing my numbers very messy, but I've written my numbers in there. And then the counter. So if you're a crochet or knitter, this is an excellent counter. Just check what's on so I don't bugger it up. It's like analog, right? Click. You can't go wrong. And then you can lock it, so you can stick it in your pocket. And Chris, I thought of you because it's a meditation frog. It's got the eyes of the numbers, and it's meditation frog, and he's smiling. It's so cute. So you can have your meditation frog in your pocket. This one I found really good for counting, like per mala. So each mala I do it, and just have it in my handbag. Francesca sent some of those electronic thumb drives. They're quite good too, but careful because they have a reset button really close to the main button. Those thumb drives are really excellent for counting prostrations and things like that. So anyway, whichever way that you do it, there's some of you that are using the traditional bell and dodgy little things on the cords with the little round loops. That also works very well. An app on the iPhone, as long as it's charged up. So I prefer analog things for this, but have a little booklet or something somewhere that you keep account, because we will offer Tagesha together as a group. We'll have a night together where everybody who's been doing the Nondros can personally offer, whether you're online or whether you're in person. We'll figure it out. Be really nice. Okay, let's just do a short meditation together. And then if there are any last questions after that, and then we can finish. And what I thought we could use was, where did I just put it? Oh, here. If you have the, where is it? The variations on the refuge prayer, that's got all the different ways with the Tibetan and the English. If you have that handy, that's good. You don't necessarily need to have it though. Okay. So we are going to go a little bit over time. If you need to go online or if you need to go here, then please do. But otherwise, it'd be nice if we could do this practice together. So adjusting the posture, a two-point posture, nice straight spine. Become aligned and then relax the body and release any tension. And gently bring your focus inwards. You can just rest it on the breath. Become aware of the natural rhythm of your breathing. We can remember our altruistic motivation, refresh our motivation all the way through, from just releasing that worldly point of view. To the various mind states of the lower capable being, middle capable being, higher capable being. And remembering Shakyamuni Buddha, our first guru. Also remembering our root guru or our heart guru, arising in the form of Shakyamuni Buddha there in the space in front of us. And remembering that this Buddha is a lot more than the form of the Buddha. Is a light body, perfect, pure. Can also manifest as our guru who we've met in this life, as the Namanakaya, and also the essence, the Dharmakaya. The perfect wisdom and the empty nature. So reciting through the method to transform a suffering life into happiness, the direct meditation on the graduated path, containing all the important meanings. Essence encompassing all the Buddhas, originator of the holy Dharma of scripture and realization, principle of all the Aryas intending virtue, in the glorious holy gurus I take refuge. Please, gurus, bless my mind to become Dharma, Dharma to become the path, and the path to be without obstacles. Until I achieve Buddhahood, please bless me to be like youthful Nausam and Bodhisattva always crying, by correctly following the virtuous friend with pure thought and action, seeing whatever is done as pure and accomplishing whatever is said and advised. Please bless me to see that this greatly meaningful body with freedoms and richnesses is difficult to find and easily perishes, that action and result are so profound, and that the sufferings of the evil gone transmigratory beings are so difficult to bear. Therefore, please bless me to take refuge from the depths of my heart in the three rare sublime ones, abandon negative karma, and accomplish virtue according to Dharma. In dependence upon that, even if I achieve the mere high rebirth of a deva or human, I will still have to experience suffering endlessly in samsara because of not having abandoned and being under the control of the disturbing thought obscurations. Therefore, please bless me to reflect well upon the way of circling in samsara and to continuously follow day and night the path of the three types of precious trainings, the principal method for becoming free from samsara. So we just pause here and do a meditation on this middle capable being. And thinking about the two types of middle capable being, the hearers and the solitary realizers. And think, imagine that you're in a bustling kitchen, and this kitchen is filled with aromas of exquisite dishes and the energy of focused chefs. This kitchen is like the kitchen of your mind preparing the delicious realizations. The kitchen represents the realm of Buddhist practice, where practitioners seek refuge and guidance on their path to liberation. And just as there are different roles in a kitchen, there are different types of practitioners. The hearers and the solitary realizers are like having two apprentices learning from the same master chef, but each with a unique approach to cultivating their culinary arts. So, how might the learning process differ for an apprentice who closely follows the master versus one who experiments independently? The hearer practitioner, like an apprentice shadowing the master, relies heavily on the guidance of the Sangha. And this is similar to an apprentice carefully observing and replicating the master chef's techniques, learning through direct instruction and example. This apprentice chef gains confidence and skill by following the master's recipes precisely and avoiding culinary missteps. Can you recall a time when you learned a new skill by closely following an expert's guidance? And how might the solitary realizer's approach differ in their pursuit of spiritual flavor? Finding refuge mainly in the Dharma, this apprentice chef carries their own recipe book, combining the two truths into their own unique experience. Master in their own kitchen and with the experience to experiment, the limitless feast of Nirvana unfolds. Can you remember a time when you were in the flow with effortless mastery over your skill? And recall your sense of selflessness, perfectly harmonious with reality. Make a resolution that in your daily life you reflect on how you learn best through guidance or self-discovery, and to apply this insight to your spiritual practice. Savor the wisdom gained from this meditation on spiritual apprenticeship. So having done this meditation on the middle capable being, then we continue with the Lamrim prayer. Independence upon that, even if I achieve mere liberation, since there is no sentient being of the six types who has not been my father and mother, please bless me to think I must fulfill their purpose and turn away from the lowest happiness of samsara, of nirvana. Then please bless me to generate precious bodhicitta by equalizing and exchanging myself with others and follow the conduct of the conqueror's sons, the six paramitas, and so forth. Having trained my mind in the common path in that way, I will not be upset even if I have to experience the sufferings of samsara for a long time. However, please bless me to look at sentient beings with extraordinary, unbearable compassion, and to enter the quick path of the Vajrayana teachings. Then please bless me to protect my vows and samayas more than my life, and to quickly accomplish the unified Vajradhara state in one brief lifetime of this degenerate time. The refuge recitation. So we can do in the Tibetan, halfway down the page. Lama la kyapsu chiwo, sangya la kyapsu chiwo, chola kyapsu chiwo, kendula kyapsu chiwo. Lama la kyapsu chiwo, sangya la kyapsu chiwo. And then continuing in the English. And so this time, as we recite, then remembering the particular objects of refuge for this middle capable being, for the hearers, the main object of refuge being the Sangha, and for the solitary realizers, the main object of refuge being the Dharma. And of course, for the higher capable being, the main object of refuge being the Buddha. I take refuge in the Buddha. I take refuge in the Dharma. I take refuge in the Sangha. I take refuge in the Buddha. I take refuge in the Dharma. I take refuge in the Sangha. I go for refuge to the Buddha. 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 I go for refuge. I go for refuge to the Buddha. Go for refuge the Buddha, go for refuge the Buddha, Sangya la kapsu chiwo, Sangya la kapsu chiwo, Sangya la kapsu chiwo, Sangya la kapsu chiwo, Sangya la kapsu chiwo. I go for refuge to the Dharma. 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 I go refuge. Chela keeps it chill, 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 chela. I go for refuge to the Sangha, I go for refuge to the Sangha, I go for refuge to the Sangha. Can do la capture two, can do la captures two, can do la capture two, can do la. I go for refuge to the Buddha. I go for refuge to the Dharma. I go for refuge to the Sangha. So over the page, top of page 10, in Rinpoche's booklet, top page 8 in Rinpoche's booklet, the meditation on the guru entering the heart. So we do the first verse. May I not give rise to heresy for even a second in regard to the actions of the glorious guru. May I see whatever actions are done as pure. With this devotion, may I receive the guru's blessings in my heart. And so purifying waves of light flow from Shakyamuni Buddha to you and all the sentient beings. Bringing all the blessings of the refuge. So we recite 7 times. Taya ta om mone mone taya so taya ta om mone mone maha munaya so taya ta. Tayata Mune Maha Munayas
Tired or money, when I saw how. And Shakyamuni Buddha begins to dissolve entirely into light. And this light that comes to the crown of your head, melts down through the crown of your head, coming to rest at your heart, dissolving your ordinary sense of I. You become one with Guru Shakyamuni Buddha. And then the second verse of the Guru entering the heart. Magnificent and precious root Guru, please abide on the lotus seat at my heart. Guide me with your great kindness and grant me the realizations of your holy body, speech, and mind. And so, developing the feel of this bodhicitta heart of the Buddha, determined to obtain the greatest possible benefit from all sentient beings who are more precious than a wish-fulfilling jewel, I shall hold them most dear at all times. May I become like a wish-granting jewel, fulfilling all the wishes, and like a wish-granting tree, fulfilling all the hopes of transmigratory beings. For the sake of accomplishing the two purposes of all sentient beings, without any sense of loss or concern, I give away my body and likewise my enjoyments, such as food and clothing, and even all my virtues accumulated over the three times. By abandoning attachment and giving everything away, I will pass beyond sorrow, and my mind will achieve the non-abiding sorrowless state, the state of omniscience. Since I'll have to give up everything all at once when I die, it's best for me to give it away to sentient beings because Buddhahood is attained in that way. As I've already given this body, an impure aggregate, to all beings to use for their pleasure, even if they always kill me, criticize me, beat me, and so forth, I will let them do whatever they like. From now on, whether they play games with my body or make it an object of laughter by ridiculing and making fun of it to hurt me, since I've already given this body of mine to sentient beings, why would I resist by protecting it and so forth? I will use it to do any virtuous action that doesn't harm and that benefits others. Whenever any sentient being encounters me, may it never be meaningless for them and always be meaningful. Whenever someone has an angry or devotional thought arise just by looking at me, may that attitude alone become a cause that always accomplishes all the temporary and ultimate purposes of that being. Whenever others criticize me with their speech, harm me with their bodies, or likewise insult me behind my back, may all of them have the fortune to achieve great enlightenment. May I be a savior for those who lack a savior, a guide for all those beings who enter a road, a boat, a ship, and a bridge for those who want to cross the water. May I be an island for those who seek the safe shore of an island, a light for those who want a light, bedding for those who wish for bedding, and for all beings who desire a servant, may I become a servant of them all. May I be a wish-granting jewel and a wish-fulfilling vase, giving rise to whatever is desired, such as food and clothing. Powerful mantra accomplishing the actions of pacification, increase, and so forth. Great medicine curing every sickness. A wish-fulfilling tree satisfying every need. And a wish-granting cow for all beings. Like the four great elements, the earth, and so forth. And like the sky, may I always be a means of living in every way for the innumerable sentient beings. Likewise, may I be a means of living at all times and in all ways for the realms of sentient beings, equaling the extent of space until they all attain the sorrowless state. As long as space remains, as long as transmigratory beings remain, until then, may I too remain to dispel the suffering of transmigratory beings. So we dedicated our practice in that way. And then, if you're going to continue the practice, then you would arise through this power of bodhicitta, informed with wisdom. You'd arise as a deity and bless your speech, or arise as a body of virtue and bless your speech. And you could then continue with any of your daily deity practices, going out into the world. Then, no matter what happens, you're going to benefit sentient beings.
Hopefully there's enough to keep us going for the next month, week on pretty much each of those pairs. And then don't forget also in this second handout of the meditations, there's the higher capable being, the sutra, the blossoming lotus, then the unique object of tantra, and on the back page is a really good meditation called the inner GPS. So don't miss it. It's on the back page. That's the one on tantra. It's really nice. So the next session, which will be December, is going to be on all the ways to set up a retreat, because then we'll close for January and you might get a chance to do a retreat then. And so to have it, I'm going to pull together all of Geshe-la's, they're like the Russian dolls, you know, the nandros within the preparatory practice, within the seven limb prayer, within the this that to set up the altars, like dum 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 dum. So that's what we'll look at next week. So thank you very much, everyone. Sorry I went over, but you're all so dedicated. You stayed, and thank you everyone online. How wonderful. Please enjoy the crossword. Did you all get the crossword puzzle? And it's an online crossword of last month's topics. It's 30 questions. But I just thought, instead of doing some boring old review thing, let's do a crossword. It's all from Geshe-la's teachings, all of it from that first one. So next month we'll have another crossword.